The first time Elena Whitcomb saw the Forbidden Ravine, she was on her knees in the snow, scrubbing blood from a royal saddle, while the wolves who owned the world laughed above her. Frostpine Dominion lay under a white, merciless morning, its pine forests bowed beneath ice and its gray stone palace rising from the cliffs like something carved by winter itself. In that kingdom, strength was not admired, it was worshipped. Alphas commanded, betas served with pride, warriors earned songs, and omegas like Elena learned to lower their eyes before anyone reminded them to. She was 19, pale from too many winters spent indoors. With long light brown hair, she kept tied back in a plain braid and gray-blue eyes that noticed everything people wished she would not. Her wolf had never come fully to her. It stirred sometimes, a faint warmth beneath her ribs, but never enough to shift, never enough to defend herself, never enough to make the pack see her as anything but a quiet failure with gentle hands. "Do not smear it," Mara Voss said from the stable doorway, her fur-lined cloak white as fresh cream against the dark wood. Mara was beautiful in the sharp way ice was beautiful, all golden hair, polished boots, and a smile that could cut without changing shape. Beside her stood Calder Voss, her older brother, broad-shouldered and restless, already dressed for the winter hunt. "That saddle will carry a royal guard tomorrow. Try not to make it smell like Omega Fear." A few young warriors chuckled. Elena kept her head bent and worked the cloth in slow circles. The stain was not much, only dried deer blood from the morning patrol, but Mara had made certain Elena cleaned it where everyone could see. Humiliation, Elena had learned, was easier for them when it had an audience. "I am almost finished," she said softly. Calder stepped closer and nudged the bucket with his boot. Dirty water sloshed over Elena's skirt and soaked through the wool to her knees. Cold bit instantly into her skin, almost as what weak people say when they cannot do enough. Elena's fingers tightened around the rag, but she did not answer. Anger had never protected her. Pride had never fed her grandmother. So she swallowed both and thought of June Whitcomb waiting in their small cottage near the healer's shed, her hands bent with age but still warm enough to knit by the fire. That morning, June had wrapped a cream-colored wool scarf around Elena's wrist before she left. "For courage," she had said. Elena had nearly laughed, because courage felt like a thing given to warriors with steel at their backs, not to Omega girls scrubbing saddles in frozen mud. Beyond the stable yard, the pack prepared for the royal return. Banners snapped in the wind. Servants carried polished antlers, silver bowls, and hunting spears toward the great hall. Every voice in Frostpine had sharpened with anticipation, because King Ronan Blackthorn was coming home before the winter hunt, and with him came Oral, the Alpha King's great wolf, the White Silver Guardian spoken of in whispers. They said Oral had stood beside Ronan through war, famine, and the night the old northern packs bent the knee. They said the wolf understood human speech and could smell betrayal beneath perfume. Elena had never seen him, but even the thought of such a creature made something quiet inside her lift its head. "You will stay out of sight when the king arrives," Mara said, drawing Elena back to the cold. "Frostpine does not need its weakest face greeting the throne," one of the warriors muttered. "Maybe send her to Hollowglass Ravine. Even the wind there would reject her." The laughter that followed was uneasy. No one joked about Hollowglass for long. The ravine split the northern forest several miles from the palace, a bottomless wound of blue ice where mist rose even in daylight and the ground groaned before it broke. Children were warned never to go near it. Hunters crossed themselves before passing the old trail. Elena had once seen it from a distance, a pale scar between the black pines, and felt the pull of it in her bones as if the earth itself were breathing through the crack. Mara noticed Elena's silence and smiled. "Look at her. She is frightened by a place she will never be brave enough to reach." Elena lifted her eyes then, just once. Not high enough to challenge. Only enough to let Mara see that the insult had landed but not destroyed her. "Some places are dangerous because people underestimate them," she said. The stable yard went still. Calder's expression darkened, but before he could speak, a horn sounded from the western gate, low and powerful enough to shake snow from the rafters. Every wolf turned toward the sound. The Alpha King had arrived. Elena rose too quickly, her wet skirt clinging to her legs, her fingers numb around June's scarf. She should have stepped back into the shadows as ordered. She should have disappeared. But beyond the gate, beneath the banners and the falling snow, something vast and white moved beside a black horse, and Elena felt, with sudden certainty, that the quiet life they had forced upon her was about to crack like ice under too much weight. The horn's echo had not faded when every wolf in the stable yard dropped to one knee, except Elena, who moved a heartbeat late because she could not stop staring at the creature walking beside the king. Oral was larger than any wolf she had imagined, his shoulders nearly level with the black horse's chest, his fur white-silver beneath the falling snow, his eyes a pale gold that seemed too ancient for an animal. He did not trot like a beast returning from patrol. He moved like a silent oaf. Beside him rode King Ronan Blackthorn, tall in the saddle, dressed in a dark wool coat clasped with silver at the throat. His black hair, threaded faintly with silver near the temples, stirred in the wind. His eyes were the blue of deep ice, beautiful and distant, the kind of eyes that made people careful with their breathing. Elena lowered her gaze before anyone could notice she had forgotten herself, but not before she saw the king scan the courtyard once, taking in bowed heads, polished armor, prepared banners, and the wet stain on her skirt. His expression did not change. That somehow made it worse. "Welcome home, Your Majesty," Mara said, sweeping forward with a graceful bow before her father, the Frostpine Beta, could speak. Her voice softened into something Elena had never heard directed at anyone beneath her. "The pack is honored by your return." Ronan dismounted without accepting the hand offered by a guard. "Honor is proven in winter," he said, "not announced in a courtyard." The words were quiet, yet they traveled through the yard like a blade drawn from leather. Mara's smile held, but only because she was practiced. Calder stepped aside with the other warriors as Gideon Hale, captain of the Royal Guard, rode in behind the king with 12 armored men. Gideon's eyes were sharp, measuring everything the king did not bother to acknowledge. Elena tried to edge backward toward the stable doors, clutching the cream scarf still wrapped around her wrist, but Oral stopped. The great wolf turned his head. His golden gaze found her with such directness that the air seemed to narrow between them. Elena froze. She had been looked through many times, looked down on even more, but never truly looked at by anyone with power. Oral took one step toward her. The courtyard went tense. "Do not move," Gideon ordered, hand dropping near his sword, though his tone held more caution than threat. Elena obeyed. Oral came closer until she could feel the warmth of his breath in the cold. Snow dusted his muzzle. Up close, beneath the clean scent of pine and winter, Elena caught something sour and hidden, almost like bitter herbs crushed under old blood. Her eyes lowered to his left shoulder. Under the heavy fur, a muscle flickered, then tightened. Pain. The knowledge struck her with no proof except the answering ache in her own hands. Oral was hurt. Not freshly, not where a casual glance would find it, but deep enough that every step cost him something. Without thinking, Elena whispered, "You are hiding it." A murmur rippled through the nearest servants. Mara's head snapped toward her. Ronan turned at last. The force of his attention made Elena feel the cold all the way through her bones. "What did you say?" His voice was not loud. It did not need to be. Elena swallowed. Every sensible part of her begged her to apologize, to shrink, to become the shadow Mara had ordered her to be. But Oral was still watching her, and the pain beneath his proud stillness felt lonelier than any insult she had ever carried. "Your wolf is favoring his left shoulder, Your Majesty," she said, each word carefully placed. "There is a bitter scent under his fur. It may be an old wound, or something irritating it." Silence fell so completely that Elena could hear water dripping from the overturned bucket near her feet. Calder laughed first, sharp and dismissive. "Forgive her, my king. The girl scrubs tack and mistakes stable rot for wisdom." Mara's voice followed, smooth as glass. "Elena has always been sensitive. Omegas sometimes imagine suffering where none exists." A few warriors smiled, eager to be on the safer side of cruelty. Elena stared at the snow between her boots, cheeks burning. Then Oral moved again. He lowered his great head until his muzzle brushed the cream scarf around her wrist. Not a threat. Not submission. Recognition. Ronan saw it. Everyone saw it. For a moment, something unreadable passed through the Alpha King's face, gone almost before Elena could name it. "Gideon," he said, "have the royal healer examine Oral before sundown." Mara's smile faltered. Calder's jaw tightened. Elena's breath caught, not because she had been believed, but because she had not been punished. Ronan looked at her once more, as if committing her face to memory against his own better judgment. "And keep the Omega near the hunt preparations tomorrow," he said. "If she notices what my trained men miss, I would know why." The command struck the courtyard harder than any insult. Elena felt every eye turn on her, some curious, some resentful. Mara's colder than the snow. Above the palace, the sky darkened with the promise of another storm, and far beyond the walls, hidden in the northern forest, Hollowglass Ravine waited under its fragile skin of ice. By dawn, the winter hunt had become less a ceremony than a test Elena had never agreed to take. She stood near the supply sleds at the edge of the northern forest, her boots half buried in powder. Her wet skirt from yesterday, replaced by a plain gray wool dress June had mended twice at the hem. The cream scarf was still wrapped around her wrist, warmer than it should have been, as if her grandmother's hands had left courage inside the yarn. Around her, warriors checked bows, tightened saddle straps, and spoke in low, excited voices while trying not to glance too often at King Ronan Blackthorn. He stood apart beside Oral, one gloved hand resting lightly against the great wolf's neck. The royal healer had found swelling beneath Oral's shoulder, just as Elena had said, but no clear cause. That small truth had not raised Elena's standing. It had only made certain people more determined to push her back down. "Carry these," Calder Voss said, dropping a leather satchel against her chest hard enough to steal her breath. The scent hit her before she caught it. Dried meat, bandages, bitter tonic, and beneath it something sharper, wrong. "The king wanted you near the preparations. So be useful." Mara watched from beside a white mare, dressed in pale blue hunting velvet trimmed with silver fox. "Careful, Calder. She may discover the snow is cold and demand an audience with the throne." The nearest warriors laughed, but Elena did not look at them. Her fingers tightened around the satchel strap. The bitter scent inside was close to what she had noticed on Oral yesterday, only fresher, concentrated. She lifted the flap when no one was watching and saw a small brown vial tucked beneath the bandages. Its cork was stained dark green. "That is not healer's tonic," she said quietly. Calder's hand closed over the satchel before she could reach the vial. His smile did not reach his eyes. "You were told to carry supplies, not inspect them. Oral should not be given anything from this bag." The words escaped before caution could stop them. Calder stepped closer, lowering his voice until it became a private threat. "Listen carefully, little Omega. The king gave you 1 inch of notice, not a crown. Do not confuse curiosity with importance." Across the clearing, Oral's ears lifted. Ronan turned slightly, as if sensing a change in the air, but Gideon Hale was speaking to him, pointing toward the old trail markers. Mara moved between Elena and the king's line of sight with elegant precision. "We ride in 5 minutes," she announced. "Elena, you will follow with the secondary sled. Try not to slow the hunt." The procession entered the forest beneath a sky the color of pewter. Pine branches bent low over the trail, dropping curtains of snow when horses passed. The deeper they went, the quieter the world became, until even the creak of leather sounded intrusive. Elena walked behind the sled, breath clouding in front of her face, aware of the satchel against her hip and Calder riding too near. Twice she saw Oral turn his head toward her. Twice she felt that same hidden ache answer in her palms. After nearly 3 miles, the main trail forked. Gideon called for the hunting party to keep west, away from Hollowglass Ravine, where the ice fields grew unstable after storms. But a scout came galloping from the trees, shouting that elk tracks had been found along the northern ridge. Calder seized the moment. "Fresh sign, Your Majesty. Large herd. Worth the risk before the snow covers it." Gideon frowned. "The northern ridge borders Hollowglass." "Not if we cut through Graypine Hollow," Calder said smoothly. "I know the ground." Elena looked at the untouched snow beyond him and saw what others missed. A faint blue shine under the powder, thin ice glazed over old meltwater. The forest there felt too quiet, as if every living thing had chosen to hold its breath. "That path is wrong," she said. No one answered at first. Then Mara laughed softly. "Wrong because it frightens you?" Elena forced herself to look at Ronan. "Because the snow is hiding a thaw line. If the sleds cross it, the runners could crack through. If Oral runs ahead, he may not hear the ice until it is under him." The king's face remained unreadable, but his gaze sharpened. Calder gave a short bow, insult wrapped in obedience. With respect, my king, she has never hunted beyond the servant paths. Oral suddenly stepped forward and sniffed the air near Elena's satchel. A low sound rolled from his chest, not anger, not yet, but warning. Ronan heard it. So did everyone else. Before he could speak, a distant howl broke across the ridge, high and wounded, followed by the flash of antlers between the trees. The horses startled. Oral surged toward the sound, powerful and fast, his silver body cutting through the snow before any command could stop him. Calder shouted for the riders to follow. Elena saw the brown vial slip from the satchel, vanish beneath a boot, and crack open against the ice, releasing that bitter green scent into the cold. Oral's stride faltered for only a heartbeat, but it was enough to turn dread into certainty. The great wolf was not chasing prey. He was being drawn toward Hollowglass Ravine. Oral was already a streak of silver between the black pines when Elena ran after him, the cracked vial's bitter scent burning in her throat like a warning she could not swallow. Behind her, riders shouted, horses plunged through snow, and Calder's voice rose above the chaos, ordering men to spread out as if this were still a hunt and not a disaster opening under their feet. Elena knew she could not outrun warriors. She could not outrun a royal wolf. But she knew fear, and she knew the way the forest changed when it was hiding something deadly. The air ahead had gone hollow. No birds, no wind in the branches, only the distant groan of ice shifting under its own weight. Oral, she called, though her voice was thin against the trees. The great wolf did not turn. His head was low, his body driven by the fall scent pulling him north, toward the place every child in Frostpine learned to fear before they learned to shift. Elena cut from the main trail through a narrow stand of spruce, dragging one hand along the trunks to keep her balance. Branches scratched her sleeves. Snow filled her boots. Once, she stumbled so hard her knees struck buried stone, but she pushed up before pain could make a claim on her. Then the forest ended. Hollowglass Ravine opened before her like the world had been split by a cold, merciless hand. It was wider than memory, a blue-white wound stretching between cliffs glazed with ice. Mist rose from below, hiding whatever waited at the bottom, if there was a bottom at all. Across the near shelf, Oral skidded to a stop too late. His front paws struck the thin glaze beyond the safe ridge. A sharp crack snapped through the air. Elena's heart dropped before the ice did. Stop, she screamed. The shelf broke in plates. Oral twisted with impossible grace, claws scraping for purchase, but the poisoned weakness in his shoulder betrayed him. His left leg buckled. The massive wolf slid sideways, snow and shattered ice spilling beneath him, until only his front claws caught a jagged lip below the rim. For one suspended second, the great wolf hung there, his white fur bright against the endless blue dark beneath him. Then his claws slipped an inch. Elena reached him before thought could catch her. She dropped flat on the ice, spreading her weight the way June had taught her when crossing frozen creek beds as a child. Cold slammed through her chest. She grabbed for Oral's scruff and found only fur and air. Hold on, she whispered, then louder, hold on. The first riders burst from the trees. Calder reined in hard, his horse screaming at the edge. Mara came behind him, her face pale beneath all its careful beauty. Gideon arrived seconds later with royal guards, and King Ronan was not far behind, his black horse tearing through the snow like a storm-given shape. But none of them moved forward. The ice between Elena and the lip was webbed with cracks. Every step from a heavier body would break it faster. Get back, Gideon barked. The shelf will not hold. Elena ignored him. Oral's golden eyes met hers, no longer ancient and unreadable, but strained with pain. She saw then what no song had ever said about great creatures. Even the mighty could be afraid when the world beneath them disappeared. She unwound the cream scarf from her wrist with shaking fingers. Elena, leave it. Mara cried, too quick, too sharp. Not leave him. Leave it. Something inside Elena went still. She looped the scarf around her forearm and reached farther over the edge, catching it beneath Oral's neck. The wool stretched, biting into her skin. She will kill the king's wolf, Calder shouted. Pull her back. But Oral growled, low and unmistakable, at the first guard who stepped toward her. Ronan had dismounted now. He stood at the rim of the safe ice, every line of him rigid, his blue eyes locked not on his wolf alone, but on Elena's hands. "Can you hold him?" he asked. No one had ever asked Elena what she could do, as if the answer mattered. Her arms trembled. The ice groaned. The ravine breathed cold mist against her face. "Not for long," she said. Ronan's expression changed then, not softened, not yet, but stripped of distance. For the first time, the Alpha King looked at her and saw the cost of what she had chosen. Oral slipped another inch, dragging Elena forward until her ribs struck the rim. Gasps broke behind her. The crack beneath her body raced outward like lightning under glass. Elena tightened the scarf around her bleeding wrist and leaned farther into the empty air. The hunt was over. The court was over. Every cruel word ever spoken about her had fallen silent, because the weakest Omega in Frostpine was the only thing standing between the Alpha King's great wolf and the bottomless dark. The ice beneath Elena's chest began to sing, a thin, terrible sound that rose through her bones before anyone else seemed to hear it. She knew then that strength would not be enough. Not Ronan's command. Not Gideon's guards. Not the circle of warriors staring from safe ground with all their training suddenly useless. Oral was too heavy, the ravine too hungry, and the scarf June had knitted for courage was stretched so tight around Elena's arm that the wool had cut through the skin beneath her sleeve. "Elena," Ronan said, his voice lower now, careful in a way that frightened her more than shouting would have. "Do not pull. Hold him steady. I am coming around from the east shelf." Gideon grabbed his arm. "Your Majesty, that crossing will take too long." Ronan's gaze did not leave Elena. "Then make it shorter." Men scattered, ropes were shouted for, horses dragged back from the cracking edge, but all of it sounded far away. Elena's world had narrowed to Oral's breath, the scrape of his claws, the endless blue dark beneath his body, and the slow failure of her own muscles. She pressed her knees wider against the ice, trying to spread her weight, but the ledge dipped under her. Oral's shoulder trembled. The bitter poison scent rolled off his fur, and with it came something worse, shame, fierce and wounded, as if the great wolf understood that others might die because he could not climb. "No," Elena whispered to him. "Do not you dare apologize." Oral's golden eyes held hers. A sound rose from him, soft and broken, almost a whine. The court would have called it weakness. Elena knew better. It was trust asking whether it had been wrong to trust her. Behind her, Mara's voice cut through the wind. "She cannot save him. She is making it worse. If she lets go now, the king may still preserve the hunt." The words struck the air so coldly that even Calder looked at her. Elena did not turn. Something inside her had passed beyond humiliation. There was no place left in her for Mara's cruelty to land. "A life is not a hunt," Elena said, though her voice shook. "And he is not yours to spend." The ice cracked again, louder this time. A line raced beneath her left hand. Gideon swore. Ronan moved forward despite the guards, his boots reaching the edge of the unstable shelf. "Look at me," he commanded. Elena looked. Snow clung to his dark hair. His blue eyes, so distant yesterday, now burned with an emotion too raw to be royal. "If the ice drops, let the scarf go." A strange calm settled over her. She understood what he was asking. He was not ordering her to abandon Oral. He was giving her permission to live. No one had ever done that for Elena before, not in a way that cost them something. Her throat tightened. "I cannot." Ronan's jaw flexed. "That is not courage. That is death." "Maybe," she breathed, tightening her grip until pain flashed white behind her eyes. "But if I let go because I am afraid, then they were right about me." The word surprised her by existing. For 19 years, Elena had survived by bending. She had made herself smaller, softer, easier to dismiss. But hanging over Hollowglass Ravine with a royal wolf's life bound to her wrist, she finally felt the shape of the truth June had tried to give her. Gentleness had never meant surrender. Her hands warmed. Not enough to melt the ice, not enough to work a miracle, but enough that Oral's panic eased under her touch. The glow was faint beneath her fingers, like sunlight trapped under skin. Ronan saw it. His face changed. So did Gideon's. "Healer's light," Gideon murmured, almost to himself. Mara took one step back. Calder went very still. Elena had no strength to wonder what they knew that she did not. Oral's claws slipped again, and this time his weight dragged her past the rim to her waist. Screams rose behind her. her legs kicked against empty air, boots scraping uselessly against the broken shelf. Only the scarf, her bleeding arm, and one hand hooked into a frozen root kept both of them from falling. Ronan lunged, but the ice between them split, forcing him back. Elena felt the decision arrive like a door closing behind her. There would be no returning to the girl who scrubbed saddles and lowered her eyes. Not after this. Not after choosing, in front of the entire hunt, what her life was worth. "Oral," she whispered, pressing her glowing hand against his muzzle. "When I push, climb." The great wolf's eyes widened with almost human understanding. Ronan heard her. Elena, no. But she had already shifted her grip, wrapping the cream scarf one final time around her forearm. Below, the ravine breathed upward, cold and bottomless. Above, every wolf in Frostpine watched the weakest among them choose to spend everything she had. Then Elena pulled herself forward, gathered the last of her strength, and prepared to throw the Alpha King's great wolf toward the light even if the ice took her in his place. Elena pushed before fear could teach her to hesitate. The movement tore a cry from her throat and sent a bright flare of pain through her arm, but Oral rose with it, claws catching the higher lip as the cream scarf snapped taut between them. For one impossible second, the great wolf hung half over the ravine, half in the world of the living. Then Gideon and two guards threw themselves flat and seized his fur, dragging him onto safer ice as Elena's body swung outward into open air. The scarf slipped from Oral's neck. Her hand lost the frozen root. Ronan shouted her name, not as a king giving an order, but as a man watching something precious fall beyond his reach. The ice shelf broke beneath her with a sound like thunder buried under glass. Elena dropped into blue mist, snow and shattered ice spinning around her, the ravine swallowing the voices above until only her heartbeat remained. She did not scream for long. Cold took the air from her lungs too quickly. Above her, a shadow leapt from the edge. Ronan came after her. Not on a rope. Not with a guard's measured caution. He jumped. Midair. Power tore through him in a burst of silver-blue light, and the man became something larger, darker, ancient. His wolf form was massive, black as midnight under moonlit snow, with eyes still burning that impossible winter blue. He struck the opposite wall with his claws, carving through ice, slowing his fall by strength alone. Elena saw him through drifting frost, as if through a dream. Then his jaws closed gently around the back of her coat, and one enormous paw pinned her against his chest before the ravine could take her deeper. The impact drove them both into a slanted shelf of packed snow 40 feet below the rim. Ice cracked under Ronan's weight, but he braced above her, shielding her from the falling shards until the last pieces settled. Elena could barely feel her fingers. Her wrist burned where the scarf had bitten through her sleeve. Ronan shifted back in a rush of cold light, kneeling over her in torn black clothing, his breath ragged for the first time since she had seen him. "Stay awake," he said, pressing one hand to her cheek. "Elena, look at me." She tried. His face swam in and out of focus. "Oral," she whispered. Something in Ronan's expression broke quietly. "Alive because of you." Her lips moved, but the answer was too soft to hear. Above them, Gideon's voice echoed down, calling for ropes and healers. Ronan lifted his head. "Secure Oral first," he commanded, though his hand stayed on Elena's face. "Then lower the harness." "Your Majesty," Gideon called back, strained and urgent, "we found something. The cracked vial." It was not field tonic. Ronan went still. Elena felt the change in him before she understood the words. The cold around them seemed to sharpen. "What was it?" "Greybane extract," Gideon answered. Diluted, but enough to confuse a bonded wolf's senses. Enough to pull him toward Allure. Elena's eyes opened fully despite the pain. Greybane. June had warned her about it once, a hunter's poison banned in honorable packs because it turned instinct against itself. Ronan looked down at Elena, and she saw the truth land in him piece by piece. Her warning. The bitter scent. Calder's satchel. Mara stepping between her and the king. Oral had not run wild. Someone had guided him toward the ravine. "I saw the vial fall," Elena whispered. "From the satchel Calder gave me." Ronan's jaw tightened, but he did not ask whether she was certain. That trust, sudden and heavy, frightened her more than doubt would have. He removed his own cloak and wrapped it around her shoulders, his movements careful around her injured arm. When his fingers brushed her glowing palm, faint light stirred again beneath her skin, answering him. Ronan stared at it, his breath catching. "That light," he said quietly, "belongs to the old healer lines. I thought they were gone from Frostpine." Elena wanted to ask what he meant, but the ravine tilted around her. From above came Oral's howl, weak yet alive, rolling across the ice like a vow. Ronan gathered her into his arms before the darkness could pull her under. "You will not be hidden again," he said, so softly only she could hear. "Not by them. Not by anyone." As the ropes descended and the storm thickened overhead, Elena slipped into unconsciousness with the Alpha King holding her like a promise, while far above, the first accusation began to tremble through the pack. Elena woke to the sound of Oral breathing beside her bed. For a moment, she thought she was back in the ravine, trapped beneath blue mist and falling ice, until warmth pressed against her bandaged hand, and she opened her eyes to find the great wolf lying on the marble floor of a royal chamber. His white silver head rested near the edge of her blanket, one golden eye watching her with solemn patience. Beyond him, stormlight moved across tall windows, and King Ronan Blackthorn stood at the fireplace with Gideon Hale, both men speaking in voices meant not to wake her. "Calder claims the satchel was assigned by the stable quartermaster," Gideon said. "Mara claims Elena tampered with it to gain attention." Ronan did not move, but the room seemed to darken around him. "And you believe that?" "No, but half the court wants to. It is easier to blame an Omega than admit the King's wolf was targeted inside Frostpine." Elena tried to sit up. Pain flashed through her wrist, ribs, and shoulder, pulling a small sound from her before she could stop it. Ronan was at her side in an instant, not rushing like a startled man, but moving with controlled urgency, as if every step had been chained until that moment. "Do not strain yourself. They are blaming me," she said. Her voice sounded thin, unfamiliar. Oral lifted his head and growled softly toward the door, as if the accusation itself had a scent. Ronan's eyes dropped to her bandaged wrist, where the cream scarf had been folded carefully on the table, stained and torn but not discarded. "They are trying to survive what they did." Gideon stepped closer, holding a small silver tray. On it lay the broken brown vial, sealed in glass, and a scrap of pale blue thread caught around the cork. Elena knew that color. Mara's hunting velvet. Her stomach tightened. "That thread is not enough," she whispered. "Not for people like them." "No," Ronan said. "Which is why I need the truth from the one witness no one can flatter or frighten." Elena followed his gaze to Oral. The great wolf rose slowly, still favoring his left shoulder. When he crossed to her, the room seemed to hold its breath. He pressed his muzzle against her glowing palm, and the old warmth flickered beneath her skin before she chose it. Light spread through her fingers, softer than candle flame, slipping into his fur. Images struck Elena in broken flashes. Calder's hand uncorking the vial behind the supply sled, Mara turning away with her jaw tight, a strip of meat soaked in bitter green, the false wounded howl released from a horn near the ridge. Then one more image came, sharper than the rest. June Whitcomb kneeling years ago beside a silver-marked wolf cub, her hands glowing with the same light, while a younger Ronan stood in the snow watching from the trees. Elena gasped and pulled back. "My grandmother knew you." Ronan's face changed before he could hide it. Pain crossed his features, old and guarded. "June Whitcomb saved Oral after the border wars. She was the last healer I trusted before the old council drove her from service. They told me she retired. They buried her name because her power came through an Omega line, and proud wolves hate owing their lives to those they call weak." The truth landed in Elena like grief and inheritance together. All her life, her gentleness had been treated as a defect, when it had been the one thing Frostpine had once needed enough to fear. Before she could speak, the chamber doors opened without permission. Mara entered with Calder and three elders behind her, dressed for accusation, not concern. "Your Majesty," Mara said, bowing low. "We request the Omega be confined before she manipulates more evidence. It is clear she used forbidden healer craft on your wolf." Oral stepped between Mara and the bed, his growl deepening until the windows trembled. Calder's confidence flickered. Ronan turned slowly. "Careful. The next lie you tell in this room may be your last as a free wolf." Mara's face paled, then hardened. You would take her word over your own nobles. Elena swung her legs from the bed despite the pain. Ronan reached to stop her, but she shook her head. For once, she would not let others decide what her silence meant. Barefoot, trembling, wrapped in the king's cloak, she stood behind Oral. "No," she said, looking at Mara. "He does not have to take my word." Her hand settled on Oral's shoulder, and the healer light rose again, brighter now, filling the chamber with gold. Oral threw back his head and howled. The sound carried more than grief. It carried memory. Every wolf in the room saw it. The vial, the bait, the deliberate path toward Hollowglass Ravine. Calder staggered back as the elders recoiled from the vision. Mara's perfect composure cracked, not into guilt, but fury. "She is nothing," she whispered. She was supposed to stay nothing. The words condemned her more completely than any confession. Ronan's eyes blazed winter blue. Yet Elena saw the cost of what came next. If Ronan punished them in anger, Frostpine would call it royal wrath. If Elena stood silent, they would call it mercy and bury the truth again. She stepped forward, injured and shaking, and made the choice that changed the room. "Let the court hear it," she said. "All of it. Not in shadows. Not in whispers." Before every wolf who laughed while the ice broke. Ronan looked at her then, and whatever destiny had been waiting beneath the snow finally lifted its head. "So they shall," he said. Outside the chamber, bells began to ring for an emergency court, and Elena understood that surviving the ravine had only brought her to the edge of a different fall. The emergency court filled before the storm finished crossing the mountains. Wolves stood shoulder to shoulder beneath the iron chandeliers of Frostpine's great hall, their fine cloaks still damp with snow, their faces caught between curiosity and dread. Elena entered barefoot in soft healer's slippers someone had found for her, the king's cloak around her shoulders and her bandaged wrist held close to her chest. Every step hurt, but the silence hurt more. It was not the silence of respect yet. It was the silence of people deciding whether a girl they had ignored could become dangerous. Oral walked at her side, slow but steady, his white silver body a living answer to every whispered doubt. When Mara saw them from the center of the hall, something like fear crossed her face before pride covered it. Calder stood beside her, pale and rigid, while their father, the Frostpine Beta, kept his eyes lowered as if shame could be avoided by refusing to look at it. Ronan took the throne, but did not sit. He remained standing, dark and still, the torn edge of his sleeve a reminder that even kings could bleed for what mattered. "This court was called for truth," he said. "Not rank. Not reputation. Truth." Gideon placed the sealed glass containing the broken vial on the long table before the elders. Then he set down the scrap of pale blue thread, the cracked hunting horn used to mimic a wounded howl, and the satchel Calder had forced into Elena's arms. The objects looked small beneath the hall's vast ceiling, too small to explain a ravine, a fall, a near death. Yet Elena understood how often cruelty began as something small enough to hide in a hand. Mara lifted her chin. "Your Majesty, fear has made everyone careless." The Omega was near the supplies. She alone handled the satchel before the incident. Oral's growl rolled low. Ronan raised one hand, and the wolf stilled. "Elena Whitcomb will answer for herself." The words passed through her like a door opening. No one had said her full name in that hall before. Elena stepped forward. She expected anger to carry her, but what came instead was grief, for the girl scrubbing saddles, for June's erased service, for Oral's pain, for every Omega who had learned that survival meant silence. "I touched the satchel because Calder gave it to me," she said, her voice unsteady but clear. "I smelled Greybane before I knew its name. I warned them the northern path was unsafe. No one listened because listening to me would have cost them their pride." A murmur moved through the court. Calder's face twisted. "She lies." Elena looked at him, and for the first time he seemed smaller than the fear he had created. "No, I was frightened. I was tired. I was hurt. But I am done making myself smaller, so your lies have more room." The hall went still. Gideon turned to Ronan. "With permission," Ronan nodded. The captain called two young guards forward, both trembling. One admitted seeing Calder near the supply sled before dawn. The other had heard Mara order a scout toward the ridge with a private horn. Neither had spoken sooner. Not because they loved the Voss family, but because they feared them. That confession changed the room more than any command could have. Mara's composure broke in flashes. I never meant for the wolf to fall, she snapped. Only to make the king see Frostpine needed strength beside him, not weakness whispering about scents and feelings. Calder seized her arm, too late to stop the truth. Ronan's voice dropped. You decided what I needed. You endangered my bonded wolf. You nearly killed the woman who saved him. The word woman settled over Elena more gently than any title. Not girl. Not Omega. Woman. Mara stared at him as if that wounded her most. The judgment came without spectacle. Calder was stripped of rank and placed under guard pending exile beyond Frostpine's borders. Mara lost all claim to court standing and was confined until the elders determined restitution to those she had harmed. Their father bowed his head and accepted the disgrace his children had earned. No one cheered. That mattered to Elena. Justice did not need to sound like revenge. When the court dismissed, June Whitcomb appeared at the side doors, leaning on her cane, her silver hair pinned beneath a worn hood. Elena's breath caught. She crossed the hall despite the pain, and June met her halfway, taking her bandaged hand with trembling fingers. I told you courage could be soft, June whispered. Elena tried to smile, but tears came first. Behind them, Ronan approached with Oral at his side. He bowed his head to June, not as a courtesy, but as an apology long overdue. The entire hall saw it. June's eyes shone, yet her voice remained steady. Do not bow to me, your majesty. Bow to the truth sooner, next time. For the first time since his return, Ronan almost smiled. Then Oral pressed his muzzle against Elena's torn cream scarf, and the faint gold of her healer's light stirred once more. This time, it did not fade quickly. It pulsed in rhythm with something deeper, something that drew Ronan's gaze to her hand and made the bond between them feel suddenly, dangerously close to being named. By morning, Frostpine Dominion looked less like a kingdom recovering from scandal than a place learning how to breathe again. Snow fell gently beyond the great hall windows, softening the hard lines of the palace, covering the tracks of the hunt without erasing what had happened there. Elena stood in the healer's chamber with June beside her, one hand resting on Oral's shoulder while gold light flowed from her palm into the last of the old wound beneath his fur. This time, the healing did not frighten her. It felt like remembering a song her blood had always known. Oral's breathing deepened, then eased. The tension that had lived in his massive body since the ravine finally loosened, and when he opened his golden eyes, they were clear. Ronan watched from a few feet away, silent as the light faded. The bond between a king and his great wolf is tied to the strength of the realm, June said quietly. When Oral was poisoned, Frostpine weakened with him. When Elena saved him, she did more than spare a life. Elena looked down at the torn cream scarf folded around her wrist. I only did what anyone should have done. Ronan stepped closer. No, you did what everyone else feared to do. There was no flattery in his voice, only truth, and that made it harder to hide from. Later, at Ronan's command, the pack gathered not for judgment, but for restoration. No banners of conquest hung in the hall. No hunting trophies lined the steps. Only a single bowl of melted snow from Hollowglass Ravine stood before the throne, a reminder of how close pride had come to costing them everything. Ronan called June Whitcomb forward first. Before the court, he restored her name to the royal healer records and declared the Omega healer line protected under crown law. June did not weep, but Elena saw her fingers tremble on her cane. Some wounds, even when honored, still remembered how long they had been hidden. Then Ronan turned to Elena. The hall that once measured her worth in whispers now waited for her to lift her eyes. Oral moved beside her, pressing his great body against her hip, steadying her without making her seem weak. Ronan descended the steps until he stood before her, not above her. Elena Whitcomb, he said, his voice carrying to every corner. You were mocked for being gentle, dismissed for being young, and doubted because your strength did not look like theirs. Yet when Hollowglass opened, you held the life of this kingdom in your hands and did not let go. Elena's throat tightened. She thought of cold water soaking her skirt, Mara's laughter, Calder's boot near the broken vial, the ravine breathing beneath her. She thought of June's scarf, of Oral's frightened eyes, of Ronan leaping after her into the dark. None of it felt like a dream anymore. It felt like the road that had led her here. Ronan held out the torn scarf, cleaned but unrepaired. This belongs to you. When Elena took it, their fingers touched. The healer's light rose at once, brighter than before, not from her alone but between them, a warm gold threaded with winter blue. Across the hall, wolves gasped and bowed their heads as Oral lifted his muzzle and howled, not in warning, but recognition. June closed her eyes, smiling through tears. Elena understood before Ronan spoke. This was not a claim forced by rank, not a reward for sacrifice, not a crown placed over an old wound to make it pretty. It was a bond, living and patient, waiting for her choice. Ronan lowered himself to one knee before her, and the Alpha King of Frostpine bowed his head. "Not because destiny commands it," he said softly, "but because I have seen who you are. Elena, may I stand beside you?" The question broke something tender open in her. No one had asked to stand beside her before. They had told her where to kneel, where to hide, where to disappear. Ronan offered no cage, no command, only a place at his side. Elena looked at June, then at Oral, then at the court that would never again be able to pretend it had not seen her. "Yes," she said, "but not behind you." Ronan's smile was quiet and real. "Never behind me." As the hall bowed, Elena stood with the Alpha King and the great wolf beneath falling winter light, no longer the Omega they had overlooked, but the woman whose courage had held when the ice gave way.